welcome to Chats For You. This is the podcast where I, James, talk to people I like for you, the public. And that is really all it is. I asked some people if I could talk to them, some of them let me, and that is what's about to happen. It's a great premise. In this episode, episode 23, I speak to the comedian Tom Stade. But firstly, a bit of exciting news. For a while, this podcast was on the iTunes Comedy Podcasts chart. And it wasn't there for long, but just a wee while. And it was like at number 50, or maybe six, closer to 60, actually. Yep. So that's down to people downloading it. So thank you for that. And it was also in the new and noteworthy comedy podcast section, which is good, but sort of finally. I've been going up to people for years, just sort of in conversations, going, I'm very noteworthy, you know. And then they just leave. It's weird. But it's good to finally be recognised by such a great thing as iTunes. So, thanks. As I said, I spoke to Tom Stade, and this was the quickest chat turnaround yet out of all the chats. By that I mean it was planned, and then a few hours later it happened. Usually there's sort of a gap of at least a week or something like that, but this one was immediate. And I don't know if you've ever planned to talk to someone and then spoken to them soon after. It's fine. It's just normal, isn't it? So yeah, this it's a fine podcast. And also there's a bit of interactivity if you want to interact. There's a bit about Wikipedia, and if one of you or a few of you would kindly do what is suggested by us, that'd be fun and you'd love it. So yeah, you can do that if you want to do that. You can not do it if you don't. That seems fair. Yeah.
I think that's really bold of you. I like the way that when Owen called me and said, you know, fucking this guy barely knows you, can he come over and interview
you? He didn't tell me what he said.
Well, I'm always going, now I'm like going, fuck, I like anybody who's got the balls just to come out and say it.
Right, yeah, instead, yeah, yeah.
Because most people would expect no. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Whenever I see that now, I go, fuck it. You know what? Yeah. We'll see what comes out of it and all that sort of jazz, man. I know you do, and I like that, actually. Because, you know what, when people ask me questions, or at least chat, like with a feigned interest in somebody else's life, you know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I mean, because most podcasts are there for the other person, for the interviewee, because yeah. It's like you're saying that this is something I'm interested in and I really like to do it. But then all of a sudden when you have an outside person actually asking you questions, you kind of actually, when they get thrown to you, you kind of actually learn a little bit about yourself and your attitude towards whatever it is, because there's no preparation. You have preparation, but I have absolutely none, and it always surprises me what I'm going to say, because from interview to interview, I find that even though I'll be asked kind of a similar question, my answers may fucking change on the day. Do you know what I mean?
because
nothing's ever really written in stone for me. So I'm going, fucking, let's find out what I told people last week. different today.
You listen to every interview every week.
I don't read any interviews or anything like that. I can't do it, man. I can't read. I mean, some of them will come on Twitter, and I'll kind of look at a few of those and that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but the ones that come to me on Twitter are always nice. They're not like, hey, you fucking asshole. This is what I wrote about you. And fucking, you're such a dick to everybody. I'm like, why are tears going from my eyes? I'm just trying to live my life and enjoy what I do. And I'm not trying to be the best comedian I possibly can be. Why are you hurting me like this? For the most part, though, like I love the interview. I love the fact that somebody's in there to critique. But I'm really horrible at actually looking at, because it doesn't really matter, because when it comes to like a critique or critic and all that sort of stuff, it's always a one night thing. Do you know I mean? Like, like that, like this, the critic could, you know, if he's going after Leonardo da Vinci or one of these guys, like to.
They still do that.
I know, just to call him a piece of shit. But you're like, dude, that's just one show, you've seen him. And he probably was a piece of shit on that show. But as in general, he's not a piece of shit. You know what I mean? He's not a one-star dude. But maybe on that night, it just, because something always has to click for all sort of stuff to happen, you know, so. So anyways, anyhow.
I thought we could start with a bit of, I like to start with a bit of a chat warm-up.
Okay.
Because you might not have spoken to many people today, it might just be me and then a couple of family members or whatever, I don't know what you've been up to today. So I thought we could do a chat warm-up and then just get in the mood and like prepared for a chat. So what we'll do is we'll go through some of the cliche chat topics that you do in like a bit of small talk.
Okay.
So I'm okay, well, I'm hey Tom, what's going on?
Well, I
been up too much?
I woke up today. Yes, I did.
How are the kids? Do you have kids?
Well, I haven't even answered the last question yet, James.
just quickly.
They're fabulous, James. They are fabulous.
Well, I loved catching up.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, I'm glad we're all up to speed. I woke up and my kids are fine.
And I don't like to take up too much of the podcast with the chat warm up.
Okay, I understand.
So I just like to cut through that.
Okay, well, kids are good. I'm awake.
It's good
for
that you're
how long?
Awake. It's good that
for
you're
how
awake.
Long? I do not know. I'm getting to that age of I do not know how long I want to be awake for.
Could if these questions are not up to scratch, could you fall asleep?
Well, I could possibly. My eyes would be open, but maybe the back of my head might be asleep. So we could also check that out. You know
we'll
what? Let's just see how
again.
It goes. Go like this every now and then to see if my eyes move.
And so you're doing a sort of a... So let's call it a mini tour. You're doing a mini tour. Would you call it an actual tour with an evening with Tom Stade?
What I'm doing is I've decided that I'm going to get a... I'm going to actually... I had an epiphany, James.
It's good to have those.
Oh, I have them all the time.
Oh,
whether
good.
They come to... fruition, I do not know, but this one has. And mine is to get started on probably, I want to write the greatest show I've ever written.
Excuse
me. What I've decided. And I'm not going to do the normal 3 months before a festival thing. So I've actually started preparing for this tour a year in advance, and I mean I've been going to amateur nights. I've stripped myself of all my stardoms, all my garbs of stardom. I've taken them off. I've ripped off my expectation hat, and I've started from scratch.
You shouldn't have ripped it off.
Oh, of course I rip it off. I hate my expectation hat. And So I've just I just said I'm gonna start right after my last tour, like the day after my last tour. I'm gonna start writing this new show, and that's what we've done. So this is my very, whereas most people would preview.
Yeah,
this is my very first preview of what I'm gonna do. So I'm not just gonna preview it like a month before.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have little mini shows like this. Just in places that are close to me, you know what I mean? Like Glasgow, Newcastle, and plus the Stand is a nice, easy club to play, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I'm doing, yeah.
And outside of those shows, An Evening with Tom Stade, what is an average evening with Tom Stade like?
What is an average evening? Wow, okay. Well, I do have a movie card, James. I have an unlimited Cineworld for $14.99, and so glad that they put a Starbucks in there. So for the most part, I'm a pretty big movie buff.
Have you been watching?
Everything. And once you can go in there for $14.99, I've watched every goddamn movie that's there. The last one we saw was Wolf of Wall Street, which was incredible. But then the Dallas whatever is coming out, so I'm going to go and check that. And Mason, my son, came back and he said, you know, he goes, my son's really hip on movies. He goes, I hate movies about gay people where they concentrate on the fact that they're gay or they got AIDS. And he goes, this movie was so not like that, even though he did have AIDS and he was gay. He goes, they were just sort of backstories of the actual thing, which was, which he went, was absolutely fantastic. Mm. So he's given it a good one. So I'm really pumped about that. But then again, you know, I also like Jack Reacher.
And did you see that? You've got an unlimited card. You maybe went to see Jack Reacher.
Yeah, of course I did. I would never really pay for it.
And have you ever done any acting yourself? Because you're a big movie fan.
I've been in a few things. Yeah. I've been. I was in. When early on in my career, I've done some commercials, James. I did a Canada. Saying? I did phone commercial. I did a phone.
I've gone
commercial.
To them. That worked.
This was a phone network. This was kind of, wow, this was when, oh my God, how long ago was this? Was back in like 93 or 90, did we have cell phones in 93 and 94?
I was 1 year old.
I can't remember, I don't remember having cell phones when I was around, I mean, they must have been there. I don't think they were... Oh my God, man, I can't even just remember my own history. This is horrible. But I'm pretty sure they weren't there. As accessible as they are now, where you can go and get a plan and have a tricorder in your hand.
They certainly did not have apps.
No, they did not. So they would have just been the normal. But this was for Canada CanTel or Canada telephone or whatever, and I was in the middle of a field and the lines, I was just supposed to pretend to talk and while I was on the phone in a field. And now I'm thinking, was it a cell phone I was using? But and it was just when you haven't got anything to say, even when you haven't got anything to say, because all I said was sure, and it was actually a funny one. And then I did a movie. I played a part in a movie called My Private Oshawa, which was a take on My Private Idaho or something. It was like a Canadian version and written by This obviously gay guy who was really nice. Do you have to say that after gay guy?
I don't think you have to.
Do you have to just, like, are you out there, gay guys, just going, I hope he says I'm nice. The last thing you want to hear is he was a real asshole. But he was, and he cast me in there. I played his first love. And then I was in a popular sitcom in Canada. I wasn't in like a main role. I got the role of the main one of the main characters was I was her boyfriend in one of them.
Right.
At least I was in two episodes. I think I was in two episodes.
Were you like a Gunther?
No, I was a stoner in a bathroom, and we were talking about Chernobyl and the in Ontario. There's this place called Pickering that has a nuclear power plant there, and everybody's worried about the meltdown in Pickering. And so we were. I can even remember one of the lines was we were talking about the footage, like when the bomb dropped on Hiroshima, who had the guts to get their camera out to start taking pictures of this ship while nuclear fallout? Like, that's ballsy. Going, oh my God, all my friends are dead. Get my camera! And then we just did Frankie Boyle's Travel All Nights and all that stuff.
All right,
so we've been a few things. It's not my big thing, James. Yeah. It's not my Even though I really wanted to be an actor, it's not my fucking by any stretch of the imagination was a big thing.
Would you still do acting now?
Of course I would. Of course I would, man. I'd love to do it. Anything to do in show business. The problem is you got to be realistic with yourself. Am I any good anymore? Like when you go and you watch like a Leonardo DiCaprio, you go, that's the standard, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I mean, even Matthew McConaughey raised his game because everybody just teasing him that he was just a gay, just a Texas lawyer. Now he's a gay Texan, which has won him an Oscar. So, so all he had to do was switch it up. But you got it. I would love to do it, but I'm always, I mean, the older I get, I guess the better I would probably be at it because I'm not so self-conscious anymore.
Yeah.
So and, I'm trying to live my life like nobody's watching, you know. So that I think that seems to be the key to me to being a good actor.
Yeah. Is there, like, if there was, like, you might have a favorite film or something like that, but if there was a role that, let's say, you did and it was as good as that person.
Yeah.
And... but that was what you were known for, and everyone was like, hey, did you see Tom in whatever film it was, playing whatever part, what would it be?
If I really thought about it, I would have loved to have been Jeff Bridges' Big Lebowski. I would love to have...
I've not actually seen that.
I would have loved to have played the dude, for sure, man.
Because I've not seen it yet, so what you could do is take the film, edit your face...
into the you know what, I'm glad we're in a world that we could actually do that. I'm gonna get that on my app. I'm gonna get my face change movie change app. Oh, there it is, it's only 79p. Done. Sorry. Welcome to the world of awesomeness. Yeah, man. Yeah. I would love, that would be a fantastic one. But you know what I mean. But that's something iconic, man.
To right? Yeah, I've something. Heard of it. Yeah,
I've, not yeah, just, I've heard it. Well, obviously, I've heard of it's a not lot. That yeah. iconic. I've heard of it. Oh, okay. Have you heard of Jesus? I haven't seen the movie or anything. But it's good. Yeah.
Tonight you've got this gig, and pre-gig you'll have to. Get into your own head space, like have a few minutes. I don't know how long you take, but you might have a wee while to just get in the zone.
Yeah.
In that moment, whose head space would you rather be in?
Oh, wow. Like if I... Oh, God. Nice one, James. Whose head space would I want? I think I would... fuck me, man. Like, I think I'd probably want to get in my wife's headspace because she knows really how to fuck with my head, man. Like, she has no fear. See, I have a little bit of fear. My wife doesn't give a flying fuck about anyone, including me some days. And that's the kind of shit you actually need when you're up there, man. No. Okay, like, I've got it, but yeah, no, maybe I should actually think about being in Trude's headspace up there, but then... but then I could, if not her, if not Trude, yeah, no, I think I'd try and get into Trude's headspace. Yeah.
And would you remain in there for the entirety of the gig?
Then I'd just be trapped, man. Like, I mean, I would love to get, maybe for the gig, but if I couldn't get out, that would just be horrifying just to be in her headspace and witness all her fears. Including looking at me through her eyes and not being the image of myself that I want to be. It would terrify me. I'd go, why am I such a cunt? You know? So, yeah, no. Yeah, I like Trude's headspace. She's nuts. She scares me. She makes me laugh. I don't know. Maybe it's just a woman. Maybe it's just... that I find that women have less fear about things than guys do most of the time. And I don't know if that's right. But, I mean, I'm only speaking from knowing Trude, so I can't really generalize. I also know a lot of ladies that have tons of fears and all that jazz. I mean, by the fact that they're going to... cover their face with makeup before they go out, or they'll be embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, paint your head before you leave. Okay. You're not going out without a painted head, are you? No. But when it comes to what people think of Trude. She hasn't had that battering of what we were saying before of critics. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
she hasn't had that battering of have I appeased my peers and my peer group and all that sort of stuff. So she doesn't understand the fact that, look, this is my job and I really need to do good at it. She doesn't have that mentality.
She's
always like, Tom, just relax. They're going to love you. Oh, that's easy for you to say. Relax. They're going to love me. What the fuck do you know about anything? Why are you poking your nose in my business? You know how much pressure I'm under? You know, so that's kind of a... Oh, that's a conversation I'm pretty sure we've had a few times. Just sit back, relax, and have a good time. This is comedy. This has nothing to do with relaxing and having a good time. I think I want to write that down as a joke.
There's a pause that, here, man, where you can write it down if you want.
Well, I'll think about it. That's really funny. I want to actually... If you don't know what I'm doing on this podcast... I'm actually going to write that down because I've been looking for a start to this show tonight. And just relax. And easy for you to say. So many people looking at me. Relax and have a good time. Fuck you. Because men love to be under pressure, man. You know, like at a party I can relax, but when I'm at work I need to be stretched out, because that way people won't fucking ask me too many questions. Time. That's kind of a bit of a truth there. I like that. Relax, or just relax. Easy for you to say. I'll just write easy for you to say. Thank you very much, James. You may have solved the problem I've been looking for.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Okay.
I'll come along tonight and I'll be like, yes. I'll go around all the audience and go, that was me.
They always love doing that. You're going to give me credit for that, right? Not in your life. Fucking dude, if I wasn't around, you wouldn't even thought of that. The only reason that came out is because you were hanging in the presence of the magnificent, relaxed, have a good time, Tom Stay.
So you've got a DVD out called Tom Stays Live. Yeah, and
because we lacked imagination.
And I think, I know you've been doing this, I think other people have been putting your DVD like higher up in shelves and
yeah,
things like that.
I started that, you betcha. I don't know how many people listen to this little podcast, but it's just because I'm not a household name. They made that very, very clear. And when they came down to the advertisement, which is good, man, because I was one of the dudes that they wanted to sign, but I don't have the same kind of exposure as Mickey Flanagan or what's the other guy, Greg Davies or Bill Bailey's or all them dudes, or Jack D's in this country and sort of stuff. So they gave me a nice little advance and they said, well, we'll make your DVD, which was really kind of them to do. But we realized that there wasn't going to be a major advertising budget on it, especially when you're going to give an advance away. I don't know what the kind of money they spent on the bigger guys, you know, but when you spend that kind of money on the bigger guys, those are the guys you're going to promote. And that is just a fact of life. Do you know what I mean? And it's not that they don't care about you or anything like that. And then once the big Christmas season came, there's only so much room for interviews with these bigger dudes.
Do you know
what I mean? Like, so once you get down to Tom Stade, I think I got maybe three interviews throughout Christmas, which was cool enough, man. But I thought, you know what? I might as well have some fun promoting this thing on my own, you know. So so we created all of my beautiful brothers and sisters on Twitter. We created this pretend war against mainstream and accessibility. And we started calling ourselves the Statenese Army. Well, I obviously it was me. It wasn't like, hey, Tom, you should call it the Statenese Army. And hey, that's a really great idea, Jacob. 5432. You're really cool, man. And then I created this thing, the same as Kim Jong Il. I started calling myself Dear Leader and waging war like I was a communist waging war against corporate America. and it actually turned out pretty good. And then I started when they first came out in HMVs, and I saw them because they weren't on the, they were never going to be on the chart. On the chart toppers, especially when you've got like I just said, with all those other dudes But the thing is that if they sell well, then they move over to the charts. Oh, okay. Believe it or not, James, we did so well that I got so many people to put them into the chart things, and just they would take pictures of them and send them to me, and we'd go, another victory. And it was funny who they would put in front of, because the one thing was, for most of them, they were putting in front of the people that they didn't think should be there.
Right, right.
And when they put them in front of, like, some of the big dudes who are my friends, I was like, I hope he's not going to really get mad at me for that. All of a sudden, I'm fucking over Jimmy Carr's fucking head, going, that guy don't like Jimmy Carr that much. But it was just—it's just the kibitz, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
for those guys, and the funny part is that I haven't even stopped trying to sell them yet. I think Christmas was just the very first attack. For most people, it's over.
First attack of the Statenese Army.
Yeah, man. For most people, it's the Christmas thing, and then it's done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for me, I figure, because I haven't had any advertisement, now all of those guys are slowly going away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start, when the PR machine gets in going, I'm going to start going this way. Because in all fact, we outsold some big names. But when I mean outsold, what I mean by that is Bill Hicks had a great line about the American Army. And then the Iraqi, like, we're the number one, America's the number one army, and then the Iraqis are number six. But there's a big gap between number one, and, you know, and the Hare Krishnas are, like, number seven, and they've already got our airports and all that shit, right? So, what I mean, we did really good, but we didn't, you know, it's a big gap to where I want to be
by
the end of the year. Yeah. But for the start of what we did, for being not known or more of a dirty little secret, a DVD with a bunch of ass-fucking jokes with some clever bits in it.
How many clever bits?
Huh? Oh, lots, man. Lots. But I always like the...
I'd like an exact number.
Oh, fucking... Ah, Jesus Christ.
No, you don't. I'm joking.
One, two, three, four, five. No, that's an ass-fucking money. I'll throw that. Six. No, ass-fucking. Seven, eight. Eight and a half with an ass-fucking.
That's the best DVD out there.
I just laugh at that. So. It is the best DVD out there.
And would you think about taking it a step further and making it like the only DVD that exists?
What do you mean by that? I'm not quite sure.
Just Tom Stayed Live, that'd be all over HMV and nothing else would be in there.
Oh, nothing else in there?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you know what?
You'd have to sacrifice your
enjoyment. No, I couldn't do that, because I'd also like Tom Stayed DVD 2 Live. I'd like there to be some competition, like, between myself.
Yeah, just the two of you.
Sort of like supermarkets.
And then before we did this chat, because sometimes I like to, a lot of interviewers do this, they look at Wikipedia just to see what they're saying about the people.
Okay.
And I don't usually use it, and I'm not going to today, but just when I had a look at your page, It's quite dull. It's mainly just mentioning things you've been on.
Okay.
So is there anything maybe listeners could add to it to make it a bit more exciting? And then also maybe trip up.
For one, the fact we're using the word Wikipedia and exciting together is ridiculous. Like, Wikipedia is not a factual-based thing, is it? Like,
I get so excited every time I'm going Wikipedia.
Because I come from a generation that, like, when I think about Wikipedia and all of that sort of jazz, I'm now the father that can't program the VCR. Because right. I'm like, Wikipedia, what the fuck is, what is this button for? Wikipedia, this is crazy shit.
Yeah.
Let me do that. That's you, Dad. I still don't get it. Just turn it off. It scares me. Where's my Bible? what is on there right now? Like, what kind of things are on there
that I can...
Because now I don't really know what's on there,
We can do a live check.
Do you want... Okay, well, tell me what's on there, and then I'll... Okay. You know what? I'll tell you if it's true or if it's bullshit or...
No.
And then we'll add something to it. I'll add something to it right now.
I don't know how to do that.
Okay, and then we'll figure something out.
What I'm thinking is someone listening will know how to do that.
Okay.
So then when I put it out, people can then do it.
Okay.
So Tom Stade is a Canadian comedian who currently lives in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, okay, there we go. We got one right. Ding, ding.
With his wife, Trudy, and their two children.
Okay, yeah.
Did they mention
my guinea pig and my dog?
No, they did not.
Ah, there's something. Okay, I have a 4-year-old fat guinea pig, and I've got a dog that is spazzed and not trained very well.
Okay. And he has a distinctive drunken Canadian accent and is known for...
Oh, that's still tagging me, is it? I'm a drunken Canadian accent.
Shall we delete that?
Well, I'll let him have it, man. Who cares? Somebody else's opinion. Do I sound loaded to anybody out there?
And then it's just a list of what you've appeared on telly-wise.
Okay, so drunken Canadian accent. I mean, who actually wrote that then? Somebody actually wrote that, didn't they?
Because
they can, if I remember right, they can add to
anyone
that.
Anyone can add anything to it.
So somebody decided Tom Stade has got a drunken Canadian accent.
And they decided to stop what they're doing and write that in.
Yeah, I'm just trying to really... focus in on drunken Canadian. Like, I didn't know that was... Like, if I went back home, they would go, wow, you sound really drunk, Tom. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure drunk means I'm slurring and puking. not just talking.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's because one of the jokes that I had a long time ago was with this accent... isn't from America, it's from smoking dope for 20 years. Maybe that's maybe they get that. But okay, so we gotta add something to it. We've already added guinea pig and that. And okay, here's another one. I like to eat healthy on the road, and a lot of people don't realize this, but I bring my soup maker with me to every travel lodge. I normally only stay in travel lodges because if things get too fancy, I feel like I've made it. And I don't ever want to feel like I've made it because then the adventure is over. So I always try and get into a travel lodge, and if I can, I scam my way into a family room.
There we go. That'll be updated by the time this is out.
Mm.
Or by when it's out. Cool. I'll get some to do. So I thought we'd end with some of my trademark questions.
Okay, trademark.
Because I feel like the best way to get known as an interviewer is to have trademark questions. Mm-hmm.
I think David Letterman's got his top 10 list.
Yeah, he's got that.
And Ed McMahon's got his trademark. Hey now. No, that's the other guy from Larry saying, hey now. I know what you're saying. Okay.
So this is my trademark question, and okay. I hope you enjoy it.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
What do you like?
I'm stealing it, by
the way.
What
do you like?
What do I like?
Yes.
That is the trademark question. What do I like?
Because everyone enjoys it because they like talking about things they like.
And they also, you've given me a little bit of a hint there by saying things.
Oh, yeah.
More than one. Well, I think I... What do I... Well, I like pretty much... I always confess that I like everything because I'm a person that has decided that I live in a world of non-duality because when you talk about like, okay, that means to like something means I need a counterpart to dislike.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And I don't because I try and sit there and think whatever happens, but what do I really like? Come on. If I went back into this world of duality, I love American pickles.
Oh.
I hate...
I didn't ask for love, I asked for like.
Oh, like, okay.
I really like that.
Really like American pickles. For some, and I call them pickles. I didn't realize they're called gherkins here.
Right.
They were gherkins here, but they... I'm sorry, I hate to disappoint the UK, but for some reason, the Americans make way better gherkins than you do. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying that you can't compete. Yeah. But I've had yours, and just, you know, go to Costco, get yourself a massive jar of them. You'll really enjoy them.
I probably had one, but I can't remember it, so I'll make
Well, I'm looking at them right now, because they're right there, and I'm going, I like always being on the move. I don't like ever settling down. I like that's why I've never really owned a house in my entire life. That's not true. I've owned two houses, but one of them burnt down.
Untrue.
Yeah, it was totally untrue. I was in Hamilton. But I was younger. I was young. I needed the money, and I realized I didn't like owning them. But now I'm thinking I might want to own one pretty quick because now I'm 43. So, but I do like being on the move all the time. What else do I like? That is a really interesting trademark question, isn't it, though?
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
I like 70s shirts. I miss big collars. I have actually got a vintage 70s shirt that I've been telling myself that I want to take it to a tailor and get it made with the big collar, the same style, but made for the year 2013. So I like my old 70s button-up cowboy kind of big collar shirts. What else? I like the fact... Oh my God, what is that? What, I like pickles? Being on the road in 70s shirts? Is this what defines me?
And they will also be additions to your Wikipedia page.
Oh, cool. Well, bring it on then.
They won't.
Nothing, I don't mind, man. As long as they don't decide it's fact, they could also say, fucked a Sasquatch. But
I just kind of like thought of like future interviewers going, I hear you really like gherkins.
Oh, you have no American gherkins, buddy, if you've read your Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Oh God, I love soup. Okay, well, I've already said that earlier. Soup is like my big thing. That's why I've.
What's your best soup?
That's an easy one, man. Red pepper, roasted red pepper. Soup.
Sorry, I asked. That's so easy. Sorry.
Please, buddy. Fucking come on,
I'll
man.
Edit this
put
out.
Those
edit
to
this
put out. Those red peppers in the oven and take the skin off and juice them in there. Oh, to add some carrots, blend them up, onions. It's beautiful. Okay, and one more thing I like. I like. What a fucking question. Because, fuck me, I like sugar. I like it all, man. I like it all. I even like vacuuming the house, man. Anything at the right time. I like it all, man. I'm just glad to be alive, to be able to witness all this shit. That is what I like. I like being alive. There it is. I like being alive to witness all this stuff. Because once I'm dead... I will only be able to experience unconditional love and timelessness.
Oh, good. You know?
So that's what I like. I like being alive and being able to like everything, including things that are bad.
And let's end with the deepest question of them all.
Okay.
So you might have to go into your soul.
Okay, I've got a soul.
Yep. What would you like to ask yourself?
What would I like to ask myself? Well, funny you should ask that. I've had 100 questions that I've asked myself in part of my writing session, and I will...
Okay. No one's ever been this prepared.
Oh, well, you've just asked the right question. I would like to ask myself, how come I lied to the dinner theater people about losing my money when I gambled it away? And I will answer that question as soon as this interview is over.
And finally, anything you'd like to mention or get off your chest at the end of this chat?
Well, I guess anything I'd like to mention or get off my chest, I would... Wow, you know what? That is so cliche to repeat the question, so it gives you time to think about the answer. I would like to stop doing that.
Okay.
I want to get that off my chest, that I have to repeat a fucking something that somebody says to me instead of being able just to answer it without any fear of it being right or wrong. Bam! It's off.
Well, thank you for doing this.
Okay, it was a real pleasure, cool. Man.
That was my chat with Tom Stade. Thank you very much to Tom for giving me some of his time. And if you want to keep up to date with what he is doing in his life, you can follow him on Twitter at Tom Stade Comic. If you like this podcast, you can follow the Twitter account at ChatsForYou for info on the latest episodes and also exclusive never-before-heard questions. They'll be posted on the account, so it's questions that have never been asked by anyone ever before. It's very hard to keep track of it sort of factually, but I'd guess they wouldn't have been asked. Thanks for listening. This podcast was an Imminent Joy production. Visit imminentjoy.com for a bunch of different funny people doing a bunch of different funny things.